This is an Up First special briefing. We're going to give you everything you need to know to get up to speed on Facebook and Cambridge Analytica as Mark Zuckerberg prepares to testify in front of Congress. We'll also hear from Facebook's chief operating officer, Sheryl Sandberg, on the company's privacy failures.
We know that we did not do enough to protect people's data. I'm really sorry for that. Mark's really sorry for that. And what we're doing now is taking really firm action.
Steve Inskeep sat down with Sandberg at Facebook's headquarters, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's bring in Aarti Shahani, who covers technology for NPR. Hey, Aarti.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. All right. Remind us, Aarti, what Cambridge Analytica is and what they did.
It's a firm that no longer needs an introduction, but a political firm, British, whose specialties include data mining and what's called psychographic targeting. The promise is, you know, you're turned into ones and zeros on the internet, you're parsed and sliced and diced, and they figure out how to get into your mind. It's partly owned by the Mercer family, political conservatives. It worked on the campaigns of Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, and Cambridge Analytica got their hands on a lot of Facebook user profiles.
And we learned about this because of a whistleblower, a man who worked for Cambridge Analytica. But Facebook has actually known about this for a while, right?
Oh, yeah, for years. So according to Facebook, it was back in 2015. There was a Russian-American professor who made an app called This Is Your Digital Life, okay? And he built it as a personality predictor. Basically, give us your Facebook feed, what you're liking, what you're posting, and we'll tell you all about yourself. So, you know, sounded fun. About 270,000 people signed up, downloaded. But because of how Facebook itself had chosen to set up its system, the app didn't just get those profiles. It sucked in the profiles of friends and friends' friends. So initially, it was estimated it could have been actually 50 million user profiles that were sucked in the process.
And then we learned in the past couple of days that it could be even bigger,
and
right?
Then, yeah, the math changed. It got up to 87 million. That's right.
Yeah. All right, Aarti, let me have you hang out with us for a couple minutes. We're going to bring in another voice, our co-host, Steve Inskeep.
Hey there.
Steve, you went to Facebook and you interviewed the company's COO, Sheryl Sandberg. What was it like to be there? What was it like to be at Facebook right now?
Well, it's an interesting moment to be there. Their headquarters building is a huge, huge open space. It feels like an auto factory, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily open in terms of the public. When you visit this headquarters, you're given an ID badge, and it actually says no NDA on it. I understood that to mean no non-disclosure agreement. In other words, warning Facebook employees, this visitor who's coming by hasn't signed an NDA, so be careful what you say around him. In the end, though, we did meet with Sheryl Sandberg in this conference room. It's her private conference room. It's got a yellow nameplate by the door that says only good news, but she was in the position of having to deal with news that has not been very good at all for Facebook the last couple of years. Now, let's play a little bit of this. Aarti, you're still with us, and I know that you can help us give some context to what we're hearing as Sandberg talks about what went wrong with the sharing of data, the enormous amounts of data that Facebook gathers in order to target advertisers to the people they want to reach.
I think what we weren't good enough at doing is thinking in advance about the ways misuse could happen on the platform. And when we found things, and we did find things, we shut down that thing. So the specific example in Cambridge Analytica of friends sharing, we shut down in 2015 that specific case. But what's different now is that we're taking a much broader view and a much more proactive approach. A few weeks ago when the Cambridge Analytica thing happened, we made a commitment that we would go through and find data uses that were potentially too risky or even ones we didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And we have been proactively bringing things to the surface, shutting things down, telling people. And we're going to continue to do that.
Okay, so they say they're going to reach out more aggressively to make sure that people's data is not used in ways that they would not like. How significant are the Facebook changes, Aarti Shahani?
Well, I mean, devil is in the details. And I would just say a few things about that little piece of tape we just heard is, you know, Sheryl Sandberg talked about shutting down this activity in 2015. And what's important to note about the timeline is Facebook actually announced in 2014 that it was planning on shutting down these data sharing features that were letting outsiders grab user profiles. But they let an entire year pass, and that was out of diplomacy for their relationship with the developer community, with the third-party apps that were relying on Facebook. I was speaking to a couple of people who have built apps on Facebook, this mm-hmm. notion that the company is trying to project that, oh my God, we just didn't know, like, really, that could happen? They're like, get real. Everybody in the data mining business understood that Facebook was trading data and was allowing third parties to get data, and that was part of their growth strategy. And so, you know, right now what we're hearing about, like, hey, we're shutting this down, we're cleaning up when we discover things, we're cracking down, but, you know, quote unquote, discovering things, that was part of their business strategy for a long time.
Okay, let's hear a little more of our discussion with Sheryl Sandberg. Let's talk about what you discovered with Cambridge Analytica. Some people will know that you've disclosed this week that it was 87 million people whose information was shared, the overwhelming majority of them without having given yeah. explicit permission.
That's not exactly right. Let me explain. The 87 million is anyone who Cambridge Analytica might have accessed their data. We're being super conservative and careful. This is anyone who might have been connected to someone.
So you still don't know what the number is.
We still don't know.
Well, let me ask if you know something else. Were there other firms, political or otherwise, who used data in the same way that Cambridge Analytica did?
We don't know. What we announced when we talked about Cambridge Analytica is we're doing a thorough investigation and an audit. That is ongoing. And as we find those, we're going to notify people as we did with Cambridge Analytica.
Talk to me as somebody who's been on Facebook for more than a decade, though. I think about Cambridge Analytica. I think about the fact that this company that I had no idea about was gathering perhaps my data or somebody that I know and using it in ways I'd have no idea about. There's an issue there with consent. But even beyond consent, from the average person's point of view, doesn't Facebook and anybody who deals with Facebook essentially do the same thing Cambridge Analytica did? They gather lots of data about people and use them in ways that, whether we formally consent or not, we really don't understand.
One of the things we're very focused on is making sure you do understand how all of your information is used and you do understand what information you've shared with Facebook. We announced we're rolling out privacy shortcuts. The controls have been there, and most have been there for a long time, but you're right, they're hard to understand and mm-hmm. hard to find. So this is a very simple way to see where those controls and control them, including ad preferences. And we're taking very assertive steps to make it easier, simpler, clearer, so that the controls are in one place and people can take the steps they want to
take. But the business is still the same, right? You're still going to have lots and lots of information about me in ways that might make me uncomfortable.
Well, we want you to know all the information we have about you. We want you to know all the controls we have, and we want to make sure you're not uncomfortable.
I'm curious, when you're talking with Mark Zuckerberg or whoever else you may talk with around this company, have you had moments when you've asked the question, are we as a company too powerful?
It's an important question, and people have that question about us and others, particularly as our size and scope. And we've had a lot of long and thoughtful conversations about what that means. We know that a lot of regulators have that question. We know that consumers around the world have that question.
Do you take it seriously, or does it seem ridiculous to you?
Oh, we take it very seriously. We've always had a deep responsibility for people, but at our size and scope, with billions of people using our products, we have a very deep responsibility. We're having conversations with regulators around the world, but we're not even waiting for regulation. The most likely regulation in the United States right now is the Honest Ads Act, which may or may not pass.
That's a bill in Congress, by the way, which would make internet firms disclose who is paying for ads.
We're not waiting for it. We built a tool that shows every ad that any page is running on Facebook. It's live in Canada. It will be live in the U.S. before the election. And that's really important because that law is about transparency. We're not going to get dragged to doing it. We're doing the transparency now ahead of that law, whether or not it happens.
Okay, so Aarti Shahani, what's going on there?
There is a lot going on there. I mean, first, let's work backwards. You faltered for years on privacy protections for consumers, and it took a big media scandal for you to get ahead of it. So they're not getting ahead of anything. They're playing catch-up right now.
And one perspective on this mess is that Facebook has been under pressure by federal regulators to do more to protect privacy, for example, than perhaps it's done in the past. Let's listen to some more of the conversation. Given that the Federal Trade Commission reached a consent agreement with Facebook in 2011 to better protect people's privacy, should you have taken these steps years ago?
Well, we're in constant conversation with the FTC, and that consent decree was important, and we've taken every step we know how to make sure we're in accordance with it. But the bigger answer is, should we have taken these steps years ago anyway? And the answer to that is yes. Like a very clear, a very firm yes. We really believed in social experiences. We really believed in protecting privacy, but we were way too idealistic. We did not think enough about the abuse cases.
Arthi, way too idealistic.
Here's the thing is that Facebook had been warned by others about abuse cases. And so it's not actually accurate to say we just had no idea, it was never on our radar. These are conversations that were happening inside the company, people close to the company trying to talk to Sandberg and Zuckerberg. And what's largely, you know, what sources who have tried to speak to the both of them have told me is that, you know, they just caged up, like they didn't want to hear it from other people. And it became a very sort of just even intellectually a very walled garden kind of place where it's not convenient to hear that connecting the world can sometimes mean bad things and can sometimes mean that the connections are negative, not positive.
Actually what she meant by way too idealistic in a sense, in that, I mean, it's a positive way to spin it, but essentially you're saying we believe we could break lots of China and everything would work out.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I'm trying to parse here is that it's not way too idealistic when you're also given the warning signs that you choose to ignore. Then there's a sort of like, you know, neglect that comes into it, right? And I would say that the other thing that struck me about that response is when, on the one hand, she says, yeah, we've been working with the FTC, we're in touch, you know, we were doing things to protect people. But then should we have done more? A very clear, very firm yes. I found that to be a little puzzling.
But I think that points to the bottom line for me, my impression of this interview and this company at this moment in time. We have this company that has felt for a long time that it has its fate in its own hands, that Facebook knows what they're doing, that the rest of the world, frankly, can't even keep up, isn't even sure what the heck they're doing. And now there's a moment of danger where it's possible that outsiders, at least plausible that outsiders, the government or someone, might pressure them in ways that forces them to change. And they're trying to remain masters of their own fate and trying, if they're forced to change at all, trying to make the changes that they want to make, that they're comfortable making, rather than being pressured by the public or Congress or anybody else.
All right. That seems like a good place to pick up on what's going to happen next. Stephen Skeep in San Francisco and NPR's Arthi Shahani, thanks, you guys.
Glad
Thank
to help.
You.
All right. So here is where we stand. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is going to come to Capitol Hill. He is going to testify before Congress. On Tuesday, he'll face questions from senators. And then on Wednesday, he'll appear before the House. For more on what we can expect, we've got NPR's congressional reporter, Kelsey Snell. Hey, Kelsey.
Hi there.
All right. So what are members of Congress going to ask Mark Zuckerberg?
Well, members of Congress want to ask Mark Zuckerberg a lot of things. They don't just want to ask about Cambridge Analytica. They want to ask about privacy. They want to ask about data. They want to ask about ads. They want to ask about the way that basically how Facebook does business. This is because they've been asking Zuckerberg to come and testify on a number of issues for years. And he's put it off, or he's sent other people, other representatives of the company to come speak to Congress. And while that has kind of kept them out of the congressional magnifying lens, it has given lawmakers a lot of time to think about what they want to ask. And they've got a lot of pent-up questions that they're going to, you know, spend their time asking Zuckerberg, and they're not going to feel like they are limited by a 9-to-5 schedule. This could go on late into the evening.
No kidding. Pent-up questions.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. But as you point out, Facebook has sent representatives, its lawyers and others, to Congress before, and
right.
They have testified. Is this testimony likely to lead to any real legislation, regulation?
Even the Democrats that I talked to, who are far more interested in regulation in general than Republicans are, say that it would be very difficult in this regulatory environment. The president does not favor regulations of most kinds. Republicans in general in Congress right now are in an anti-regulatory mood, yeah, as they often are. So even when you talk to people like Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, he says that he would like to see some steps taken, but he doesn't see what those could be.
NPR's congressional reporter, Kelsey Snell. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes our Up First special briefing. To listen to the full interview with Sheryl Sandberg or to read a transcript, you can go to npr.org. And to continue following along to this story, please tune into Morning Edition, which I host along with Steve Inskeep, Rachel Martin, and David Greene.